Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. What's the first thing that jumps off the page at you when you turn there and you locate that chapter? Ten Commandments. It's a rough chapter, isn't it? Let's bow our hearts and head before the Lord this evening. Father, would you help us for a few moments here as we look at your word in this service tonight? Give us that help that is needed. Once again, Lord, I need your help, your anointing, your touch, your strength. Breathe upon us again, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 18. Just reading a few verses tonight. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Now, I suppose tonight that we could really take some time and be critical of these individuals, these people. We would possibly say it would have been pretty neat to be there to see that. I mean, wouldn't it? To have been there to hear and to see and to feel all that they saw and felt and heard. I mean, that's incredible. The power and the presence of God. But they were a fearful people. They had some real serious fears. And I suppose that if we were there, that we would probably feel that same kind of fear, because this was a powerful experience. Thunderings and the lightnings, noise of the trumpet, you know, those kind of things we can become accustomed to in our life. But when we would get to that point where the mountain was smoking, it might cause us to have a little bit of alarm. Especially after he had just given the Ten Commandments. He had just provided this deep instruction for how they should live. They had been walking. They've been called the children of Israel. They had been called God's people. You know, all along here, and God had done some miraculous things for them. And now he tells them these Ten Commandments. And then we come into this passage where the people saw it, they removed, and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." I wonder if that last three words there was the cause for all of their fear. They were feeling in the midst of all of these circumstances and this experience that the all-powerful God was going to look at them and see their failure, see their weaknesses, and even maybe see their fear and slay them. Maybe that was what they were, what caused their fear, lest we die. God is a powerful God. God's voice trumpeting, God's voice thundering, the lightnings, the smoking mountain, the presence and the power of God on display. Moses, you talk to us. We're fearful of God. Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces." Now here's a key phrase too, "that ye sin not." That the fear of God not cause us to be afraid to remove ourselves from him, but that the fear of God would cause us to live so that we don't sin. Now, why would God expect that out of a people who can't measure up to that level? It's It's because God provides the means necessary for his people to measure up to that level. We can't get to the point where we have convinced ourselves that we can't live a victorious life. We cannot arrive at that place where we think that sin is just a part of the ordinary life of a Christian, but it's not. It should not be. He said here, God is saying here, lest or that ye sin not. He's speaking through Moses. For God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. It's not a point of being afraid of dying that God's going to take our life from us, but that it's a point that I don't want to sin because of the grief and the sorrow that it causes God. Verse 21, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. The people stood afar off. Now, I don't really want to be hard on them tonight. I really don't, because I think that if I was there and if you were there, we'd probably act pretty much the same way. We would have a lot of the similar feelings and the circumstances. But I want to take it just a little bit and apply it to our individual lives and cause us, hopefully tonight, to think about us personally. They stood afar off. They removed themselves where God was wanting them to come to him, to come closer to him, so that he could commune with them and communicate to them. But their desire was such that they withdrew. On Wednesday nights, the last several Wednesday nights, not this past Wednesday, but previous, you know, we've been talking about allowing him to search our heart. And the last one was where we seek for him. And that word desire would fit right into the context of that thought of us seeking for him. How much do we really desire him? Keeping in mind the thunderings, the lightnings, the shaking, the moving of the mountain, or the smoking of the mountain, the display of God's power in the midst of his presence, inducing fear into the heart. Let's just brush all of that aside and think about it from our particular context, where Jesus said that we should not be afraid of those that can destroy our lives here on earth, but be more afraid of disappointing the one that can destroy our eternal life. How much desire do we have, really desiring to be in his presence? Or do we think that being in his presence is so uncomfortable because of something in our lives? That's a good possibility. That's been done before. Maybe you've done it before. I've done it before. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be involved with that. I'm afraid God's going to speak to me. I'm afraid of God's presence. I'm afraid. And so we withdraw from him. Where God is saying, God is wanting us to come closer to him. And Moses is encouraging the people to come closer to him. Someone said that they had conscious evil. They had selfish purposes. They had a lack of consecration. Now again, I don't want to be hard on these people, because I think that quite often we can be found in the same situation. But let's be hard on ourselves by using the same description of those people that have been placed upon them or surrounding them, and look at ourselves. How much consecration do we have? How much selfish purposes do we have? How much of a conscious evil is present with me that would keep me from going there, that I get lost in this thing that a person has to sin every day, and that's going to keep us from his presence. Again, God provides us what we need so that we do not have to have sin present in our lives. They were hindered by fear. They were hindered by lack of confidence. They were afraid to approach near to the place where God was. Where was God? Did you catch where God was in this passage? Where was God? He was in the darkness. Isn't that what it said? Moses drew near under the thick darkness where God was. We could talk about some people that are afraid of the dark, or were afraid of the dark, or something along those lines. You know, there's something about the fear of darkness that can really grip a person. Sometimes we just have to stop and realize that God is often ready to meet with us in the most unexpected places. And maybe it's in the most unexpected ways that we can hear His voice, that we can hear from Him. There was something about this darkness, this thick darkness that caused the children of Israel to withdraw from. In the midst of all that was going on, it was the thick darkness where God was, and they withdrew from that. Oh, God's not going to speak to me out of the thick darkness. He's not going to speak to me in the most in that unexpected place. He's not going to voice his words to me. I can't hear from Him in that situation. It's very likely that God wants to speak to us in the most unlikely of situations and places. He doesn't just have to meet with us here. Now, thank God when He meets with us here. But also thank God for the times when He meets with us elsewhere. And sometimes it's in those most unexpected times and places that He is able to really speak deep into our heart. If we're listening. If we're listening. Let's quickly look at Moses here now. Moses drew near under the thick darkness where God was. Somebody said that he didn't have any fear, he didn't have any doubt, he didn't have any difficulties that would hinder him. I don't know how a person could say that. I really don't, because we really don't know Moses exactly. But I kind of think that he probably had some fears. He possibly had some doubts. I'm certain that there was something of a difficulty that would hinder him. But the point is, in this particular situation, that Moses didn't allow fear, he didn't allow doubt, he didn't allow any kind of a difficulty to hinder him or to prevent him. Why? Because he wanted to hear from God. He knew he needed to hear from God. He knew that his people that were following him had to hear from God. And so he had a desire. Could we put an adjective in front of that word desire? An adjective that we need to have in front of that word desire as well. An adjective that says earnest. Earnest desire. Hungry for the things of God. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. The promise is that we shall be filled. We need an earnest desire. I've said it many times, and let me say it again, that we live by our priorities. We do what we want to do. We spend money on what we want to spend money on. We go where we want to go. Someone says, well, I don't have time. Well, it's because it's not a priority. I don't have the money. It's because it's not a priority. It could easily be said many, many times when we say that I don't have the money to do something or I don't have the time to do something, it could very easily be translated, most of the time, translated into the words, I don't want to. I don't want to do that. Not that I don't have a desire, not that I don't find it good, not that I don't think it's a good thing to do, not that I, whatever, it's just that it's not on the priority list of my life. I think somewhere in the life of Moses here, it is expressed and realized that Moses had an earnest desire to hear from heaven. So he, even though he was a person just like all of those other people, he overcame the fear, he overcame the doubt, whatever difficulties that may have been presenting themselves to him to hinder him, he overcame them so that he could hear from God. Another thing about Moses is that he had faith. He believed God. He was certain that he could find God there. There was faith involved with Moses' life and his attempt. We find that all through the life of Moses that there was faith. There was very little time, very few times in all of the circumstances of his life that he showed a lack of faith, the majority of those times. And it's sad that we think of the negative side of things. You know, one negative to 100 positives, and it's that one negative that stands out in our minds. And we think about that with Moses. He smote the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock. Yeah, that's true. He did. And so we are defining him by that one failure. We don't want that to happen to us, but we look at Moses, we have to see that Moses was a man of faith. We'd really be critical of him if he wasn't, because he saw the hand of God move so many times on his behalf. He believed God. I believe that we can also see here in the life of Moses, not only that he had an earnest desire and that he had faith, but also he had courage. He had to have courage. When I talk about our priorities and the things that we want to do, it's easy for us to manifest courage to do something that we want. It's a little more difficult for us to manifest or to show some kind of courage to seek after God. Because we have somehow in this mindset and we have this thought that the thunderings, the lightnings, the mountains smoking and everything trembling and vibrating, that God's a fearful God. And he is. We should. But Moses tells us, and he brings it to the reality, that is there for us to keep from sinning, not for us to be afraid of him. But he wants a relationship with us. He had courage to seek after God. Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Young people especially, let me just zero in on you right now. Youth Revival is for you. And we take the time and do all of this so that we can have an emphasis for our young people, because you are so important, so valuable to us as well as to the kingdom of God. Don't draw back from the presence of God. Seek God. Allow him to speak to your hearts. Now, I'm saying that to all of us, but I want to zero in for our young people tonight. Allow him to speak. It may come to you at times. The devil would make you feel like maybe the mountains are trembling and smoking and the thunder and the lightning, and it's scary, and God's going to call you to do something that is extremely frightening, and I can't do that. And remember to draw near to him, and God will provide all that you need in your individual lives. This revival meeting, determine every single service that you are going to draw near, even if God's in the thick darkness and it's scary. The people withdrew. They removed themselves. They stood afar off. It's going to be hard for God to get a hold of you and to speak to you when you're standing away from his presence and hiding from his voice. Allow him. Allow this time, this special focus and effort to speak to your heart, and God to speak to you and to draw you and to form you. don't be afraid of the altar. Don't be afraid of seeking Him. Don't feel like if you come to the altar that somebody's going to think that you're some kind of a terrible sinner. Let us join with you and pray that God will help. Whatever the need is, it doesn't have to be that you're a lost, out-and-out sinner. That's not what the altar is simply for. It's for us to come and to be reckoned with God and to have God reckoning with us and speaking with us and making those decisions and driving down those stakes and following hard after God, desiring all that He has. Hunger and thirst for Him. You will not be dissatisfied. You will be satisfied as you allow Him to fill your heart with Himself. Praise God. Let's stand together. Don't forget, revival meeting 7:30. Our young people's going to be participating in the services. I thank the Lord for that. And let's just be seeking God and praying that He will open up the reservoir of heaven, the storehouse of heaven, and pour out upon us and our young people this week. Praise God. Praise God. If you're able to, on Sunday, or on the mornings, early mornings, at some time before work or wherever, you know, the church is available. If you can come in at 5, 5:30, 6 o'clock, whatever it would be. Stop by and pray and seek the Lord. I like to do that the week before, but I failed to mention it last week. So if you're able to this week, come in and pray. Young people too, come early. Get in the room downstairs and pray. Spend a little time asking God to help and helping us open our heart for what He has for us. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Praise God. Praise God. Troy, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?